Job Podcast on 95.7 The Game. Shomori Block.
You were clown then, and you're clown now.
Alan Stiles.
By 10 more inches, I'd be in the pros too.
And Adam Close.
What's he famous for? Wearing a thong?
Brought to you by the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dream Job Podcast. I am Alan Stiles.
I'm Shomori Block. The block is always hot.
And I'm Adam Close. What's going on, guys?
You know, just to be completely honest, this one's going to have a different tone based on what's going on in the current events. If you've been listening to 95.7 The Game, you know that's what's been going on this week. And we want to speak about it too. We're going to talk about our experiences, you know, how we feel about what's going on. And later in the show, we'll talk about what this means in the sports world and what we expect from athletes and things of that nature. But we really just want to dig pretty deep, you know, as deep as we can in the time that we have, and let everybody know how we're feeling. So, Shomori, let's start it off with you. Why don't you just give us a lay of the land on your thoughts and where we are?
I mean, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged, and honestly, I'm a skeptical person usually about most things, especially things about matters of social justice and social change, because I've lived long enough to see that progress is slow. One of the things that is exciting to me is that places, locally, for instance, okay, there were protests in Walnut Creek, in Brentwood. Nationally, there were protests in Salt Lake City. And some of the things that are happening with these protests, I don't feel they're constructive. I do understand the anger. Trust me, I understand the anger and the frustration that people feel. But again, the people who are finally saying, oh, that is promising to me. It really is.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. And that's a good take, to take the positive outlook. There's a lot going on. You know, there's so many layers to this onion. And we want to touch on as much as we can. For me, I think one of the most important things that I've seen on Twitter, and there's been a lot on Twitter, is I saw a picture and it was someone holding a sign that basically said, justice for, and they left the name blank. And then underneath they wrote, going to leave it blank because we'll probably need this next year. And that was written 6 years ago, according to the original post. That hit hard for me.
Yeah.
That hit hard for me because everybody talking about the looting and rioting. No, that's not good. You know, my mom is a retired federal agent. I don't condone any of that. But the idea of people saying, you know, yeah, someone was killed, but the looting and rioting, that's not necessary. It's not one-to-one. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff has been happening for a long time, and that's why people are fed up, you know? And people have been, like, the cops, some of them get charged, right? But a lot of them get off. So it's not like we're just coming off the hip with how upset and angry that we are. And the other thing, I've been saying this time and time again, I tweeted it out a couple days ago, is that the idea that people who have never needed to protest are trying to tell people how to protest, that's the equivalent of someone that has never played basketball trying to tell Michael Jordan how to shoot a jump shot. You know, like, that doesn't make very much sense to me.
Trying to tell Shaquille O'Neal how to shoot a free throw. You're still out of pocket.
Yeah, You're still out of pocket. You know, I mean, for me, I will say, and we talked about this in the pre-show a little bit, you know, I grew up in Concord, you know, I played baseball. That's not, you know, minorities are all over baseball, but African-Americans are not. So to a lot of people, I'm their only black friend, you know, or I'm the only black person on their social media feed that isn't a celebrity. So I feel compelled to post about what's going on and let them know that they're not that far removed. And to your point, Shomori, I do feel optimistic because a lot of people have been reaching out, you know, and I've been having good conversations. I've been saying, I could maybe do this as a part-time job, you know, like help race relations. Like there's a lot going on, you know, but I will say that's one of the most important things. And we'll get into, you know, the Blackout Tuesday thing a little later and how we all feel about that. But at this point in time, anything that's uniting us, I think, is a positive. It's very easy to look at the negative in things. I will take that as a positive. So, Adam, what do you have for us?
I've been at a loss, really, this whole week. I'm as opinionated as they come, right? And I'm long-winded on top of it, so I can start talking and figure out how to make my point in the middle of my sentence. But the last 10 days, I've been doing pretty much exclusively listening. I've just been listening to people and trying to learn and gain experiences that I didn't have growing up as a white guy, right? And I didn't even want to say anything. I wanted again just to listen here and to because my experiences aren't relevant right now. Nobody cares about anything, right? Anything like that. It's about something bigger right now. And to my dismay, when I was online, I saw a lot of people that looked like me and that had similar backgrounds as me and my family being argumentative online. And I thought this was going to be the time that we were going to fall back and learn and let the people that had lived that life and had the game give it to us because, sorry, I'm... I thought we were going to learn, and I'm not seeing as much as Shamari's talking about online. I'm seeing a lot of people talking, putting reasons and explanations and giving reasons for why all this stuff is okay that it's happening. So nobody is saying that looting is good. No one is saying cops killing unarmed black people is good, right? Does anyone think that the cops are doing a good job of policing its least fortunate citizens? The answer is no. It's a factual no. And if you think the answer is yes, then you don't have the experiences to answer that question. All right? Like I said, I don't have the experiences, but I can listen to other people who do have the experiences. Like, this isn't a new thing. Right? The Detroit civil unrest was in 1943, the Watts Rebellion, 1965, Miami, 1980, Rodney King, 92, Cincinnati, 2001, Ferguson, 2014. Smart, passionate people came out of those, each one of those upheavals begging for change, talking about change, trying to facilitate change. And it's been going on since before the 1940. It's been going on since the plantations, it's been going on since the slave ship. So what's going to change? What's going to change now? And to Shamari's point, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's something that I hadn't thought about, that I was getting too focused on arguing with people online and not seeing all the hipsters that are at the Black Lives Rally movement Mormons and the Amish, you know, and the Jewish people and the Asians, right? And the Mexicans. And I'm not anti-cop.
At the end of the day, this country was founded. The Constitution was written with the clause in it that a person of African descent was worth 3/5 of a person. That law was amended, but that mentality, I don't feel ever really was. And to speak to that, you talk about the history of this. And with me, it's not just police killing people. It's police detaining people, it's police arresting people, it's when someone's caught with a possibly minor infraction, this person gets a warning, this person goes to jail. When charges brought up against someone, it's like, oh, this is a good kid, I don't want to ruin his life, this is a criminal. The issue goes so much deeper, and the murders are a fever, and the illness is so much deeper, which is why I said I'm optimistic, but I am cautiously optimistic because I don't think that you can just drop the fever and cure the illness.
Yeah, that's well said, Shamari. And I, you know, what I was going to say, Adam, to put things in perspective is me and what you're saying and how me and Shamari are optimistic and how you're still seeing the negative stuff, we're still seeing it too. That's how far we still have to come. That the fact that going on social media and not seeing the typical, well, he shouldn't have been this, or we don't know the whole story. And in this moment, people were like, the knee was on his neck for a long period of time. That is wrong. With three other officers who have not been charged surrounding him. There's no, like, the fact that you're still seeing that is awful, but there is some progress simply because a lot of the people, all the people that are hitting me up, they didn't hit me up for the last ones, you know? And this goes deeper. This conversation is obviously about cops. And when people ask, what do we want? It's police reform. That's what we want. But this goes deeper than cops. George Zimmerman getting off. Just last month, the kid that was jogging, getting gunned down. Like, it goes deeper than that. And these guys are getting off. So to get back on subject of police officers, for anybody listening, if you're wondering, you know, if you've asked your black friend or whoever, what is, or if you've been too scared to ask your black friend, what is it that we want police reform. We all have that hot-headed friend, right? When that hot-headed friend becomes a cop, that's scary because they have a gun and they have power. That's what we want.
And honestly, regardless of what ethnicity someone is, police officers operate with impunity. And no human being should operate with impunity when you have the ability to take someone's life, when you have the ability to affect someone's life. Some people get arrested and handcuffed and beat up and things are broken. They're alive, but maybe now they're disabled in some kind of way. Maybe they get shot and they live, but now they can't, you know, work. They can't do the things. It's not just, it's really the tip of the iceberg. And it's definitely the most outrageous. It's the thing that sparks the most outrage because death is so vital. But it's like me personally, I have been pulled, like, so I have family members, and even me, I lived in bad neighborhoods, visited bad neighborhoods, see family members, okay? I have been harassed by police in bad neighborhoods. What are you doing here? This is a bad neighborhood. What are you doing out here standing, you know, whatever, right? I've been harassed in good neighborhoods. What are you doing here? Do you live here? Do you live in this neighborhood? I have been pulled over. One instance, I was pulled over. I had spent 4 hours packing my car. We're driving from St. Louis to the Bay Area. Somewhere in Texas, I get pulled over, me and my brother and I, and the cop pulls us over for doing 61 in the 60 mile per hour zone. I swear to God, they pull us over, say, hey, you guys are going 1 mile over the speed limit. Then they proceed to say, hey, would you mind if we search your car? I said, I'd really prefer not to. I spent 4 hours packing all the stuff. We're driving across the country. I'm leaving St. Louis. I'm going home. They said, okay, well, hey, well, we're just going to run a dog around your car really quick to see if there's any drugs in there. There were no drugs in there. Yet some way, somehow, the dog, quote unquote, indicated to them that there were drugs in the car. There were no drugs in the car. They took all of my carefully packed belongings, tossed them on the side of the freeway, tore my car apart, right? Found no drugs because, again, there were no drugs. And then left me there to pack my own stuff. No apology, no, sorry, man, we were mistaken, nothing, just pulled away. Like, I should be grateful or something, you know? And other instances, I've been pulled over wrongly, and I was late for a job interview once. And these are the things that I think people miss when they talk about, it's not just police murder, it's not just police brutality, it's police harassment, and it's profiling and all these things that just make your life suck. I have a friend who lives in Rock Ridge, and I don't even like to go visit him because over in Rock Ridge, I'm like, okay, I don't know, man. If I'm driving around Rock Ridge, the police might be like, hey, what are you doing over here, right?
Right.
And we literally had this crazy conversation of just, hey, he's like, man, you're cool over here. I'm like, dude, I probably am, but my life experience tells me I'm not. And that's how deep it goes. And that's what I would hope that people understand. If I told you, okay, everybody's heard that myth, that if you drive a red car, the police will pull you over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's heard that. Maybe it's probably true, right? What if I told you that people who are wearing orange shirts are more likely to get pulled over, harassed, beaten and killed by the police, right? That would sound absurd to you. And if you hear that people of a certain ethnicity are having this certain thing because they can't take off the orange shirts, right? And that doesn't sound absurd to you, I don't know how better to express this to you.
Sorry, why do you think people are incredulous to that? Like, why do you think that message, that that's real? Like, the struggle is real. That's not about having to comb your hair or about having bad breath in the morning. The struggle is real, is the black struggle is real because white America doesn't believe it. That's where that phrase comes from. So why do you guys think that is?
I mean, from what I've been, I just think honestly, and it's funny to say because it's almost very similar to that white friend that you have that has the racist grandma, but she's not rude, but that's just how she grew up. You know, it's like one of those things, but to a different level, it's like now this new generation, some of them are like that, but the ones that aren't, that are, like I said, you know, the reason I feel compelled to reach out, they are more removed than you think. You know, it's like a different country. Like, we do a bad job, or a lot of us do a bad job of, when there is a tragedy in a different country, it doesn't affect us. That's how it feels to a lot of people when this stuff is going down. If they don't have any connection, if one of their friends, if they don't have any black friends or none of their family members are dating anyone that is black or any type of minority, they are completely removed, you know, until you have that one, you could have that one family member who is like, we need to figure this out, da 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 da. But, you know, it's just a lot right now. It's just a lot.
It is a lot, man. By the way, you are listening to the Dream Job Podcast. I'm Shamari Block. I'm here with Adam Close and Alan Styles. So let's take it back to sports a little bit. I'm going to start off with this thing right here. 53 years ago Wednesday was a little thing called the Cleveland Summit, where a whole bunch of black athletes, the biggest black athletes of the day, came together in support of Muhammad Ali and his trial against the U.S. government for essentially not going to fight Vietnam, which is something he felt strongly in. The list included Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Bobby Mitchell, Willie Davis, Walter Beach, and several other all athletes came together. In today's climate, a lot of athletes, a lot of black athletes in particular, many, many do, but a lot don't. And I kind of feel that I don't know that something like that would necessarily happen today, given people like Michael Jordan and other athletes, who Tiger Woods, who have refrained from commenting. So the question I'm going to pose to you fellas is what is an athlete's responsibility, especially an athlete of color, but all athletes' responsibility, to speak up against social injustice?
Well, Michael Jordan, famously atypical or apolitical, right? He put out a statement saying that I stand with those who are calling out the ingrained racism and violence toward people of color in our country. We have had enough, which seems kind of cooked up on the tails of The Last Dance, given that, you know, Republicans don't buy sneakers, or Republicans buy sneakers too. I don't know if there's a blanket statement that you can make, all athletes, all celebrities, all rich people should be like this. I know what I would do. I know what I would do if I were any of those with my expendable income, and that's predicated on the responsibility, right? My dream is big, and in it, my team is rich, right? That's for your whole community. If you're not trying to put a hand down to help the next dude up, then what's the point? I heard it's lonely up there.
Lonely at the top.
Yeah. I think, so when we first talked about this, to be honest, I think I was mixing up being a role model versus being an activist, right? You know, Kevin Durant hasn't said very much. If I had a son, would that make me want to tell him, hey, don't root for Kevin Durant anymore? No, but I would make sure that I would tell him there's a difference between Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James, And I'm not talking about on the basketball court. You know, they're making conscious decisions, and that's fine. Do I think they have a duty? I don't know. I think that if they feel compelled to say something, then say it. Because I think the easiest thing that we can do is spot out when someone is not being genuine, right? So I would probably prefer, like, I spent the beginning of the week upset with a couple different athletes that I will not name for either not saying anything or saying, like, something neutral, like, God, please help us. Like, look, God ain't at these riots and these protests. You're like, I hear you, but, you know, that's not what the people need to hear right now. So do I think they have to? Not, no, but I think it's good for them to just stay on. If you're going to stay on brand, just stay on brand. Right. And it was harder back in the day. Like, Michael Jordan didn't have social media. Maybe he would be seen differently if on a Tuesday, a blackout Tuesday, Michael Jordan had a Instagram and posted a black square. Would we look at him different then? Right? Would we be like, oh, okay, he's with it. He's with it, you know? But he didn't have that option, you know? So it's different. There's levels to everything. People like LeBron James and Steph Curry have made a conscious decision. This is going to be who I am. And if anything, I'm not holding it against the guys that and women that don't want to take that approach. That's just helping me build up how I feel about LeBron and Steph, because you don't have to do it, right?
I think you got to put J.R. Smith in there too.
Yeah.
No, and here's my thing with that, right? First things first, I don't feel any, and I think I've said this in a past show, any person, corporation whose job it is to make money, which is what everyone's trying to do. They have zero responsibility to do anything but make money. As a society, it is our job to check them and not give them our money, not give them our attention, not follow them on social media, don't buy their jerseys. That's how that gets checked. Second, So athletes are masters of athletics. They're not always masters of politics or thinking or things that, you know, you would hope that someone who speaks out would have some semblance of. They're not all geniuses, and some of them were very far from geniuses. So I feel that if every athlete spoke out, probably hear a lot of stuff that you don't want to hear. I mean, if an athlete spoke out and said, hey, yeah, let's be with the rioting and the looting, right? They're supporting the cause, but are they really being productive, right? So what is said is just as important as who says it. So if an athlete says the right thing, I praise them, I admire them, I adore them. But if anyone doesn't speak out, whatever. Michael Jordan, for instance, in The Last Dance, they asked him about the Republicans buy sneakers thing too. And his response was, well, I just didn't really feel informed enough to talk about these things. And that's legit about a lot of stuff. Most Americans really don't understand the way the government works. Honestly, I speak to people all the time and I'm like, wait, really, you don't understand this. So great, Michael Jordan, you didn't speak out when you're informed. But some things are just so basic that if you have the cognitive ability to walk and chew gum at the same time, you should understand these things. And
learning is free.
Right? I think we've hit one of those points for a lot of people. Maybe not enough, but far more than even a month ago. I think we've hit that point for a lot of people, which is why you have Jordan speaking out. You have, one of the first people I heard speak up, which honestly was encouraging to me, was J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt was one of the first people, and his message, he recorded a message on his Instagram, I believe, and I don't think it was just, you know, I'm J.J. Watt and this is an opportunity to, like, I think he really felt what he said. And that is what is encouraging.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to a friend about this. At this point in the fight, right, mm-hmm. it has been, what everyone has been saying is that this is the time where, let's be honest, a lot of times when Black people speak at this point, it falls upon deaf ears, right? Because you're seen as complaining or playing the race card. So any Black athlete that may not have said anything, that's fine. But the fact that J.J. Watt did say something, that means more than like five different Black athletes saying something at this point in time. And that is why I'm really, not to keep harping on it, I'm really going back and forth with this Blackout Tuesday thing, because when I go on Aaron Rodgers' page, I see it. When I go on Tom Brady's page, I see it. I don't think they said anything before now. And now it's like, do people that follow them, sure, maybe they're like, okay, cool, like even they're supporting it. But is that the same as putting out a statement, even if your publicist wrote it, that says, you know, I believe Black Lives Matter? It's not the same to me. You know, what J.J. Watt is, what he did, what, and I've actually been kind of, I don't mind J.J. Watt, but I do find him funny in certain instances of, you know, the jokes that people say about him about always being that guy. But in this case, I did really appreciate him. And do I think like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady are really down for what's going on because they posted a black square? No, but at the same time, there's some athletes who didn't. So I'm trying to be fair.
I had a thought. So when COVID-19 all started on, Mark Cuban was making a point of, we as a society are going to be able to judge these companies based on how they respond to this pandemic and then vote with our dollar accordingly.
Exactly.
I hope the same thing happens, and with our voting ballot, I hope the same thing happens with America during this awakening that you guys are talking about. And I know that word's a charged up word, but if that, I mean, Salt Lake City, you know what I mean?
Right.
Salt Lake City, right? Yeah.
The Amish, how'd they even find out? No. How'd they find out?
They don't even have Black NBA players in Salt Lake City.
Like, no, Germany and London.
Yeah. Also,
the world. This has become a worldwide issue. And that's, again, as a person who has been very pessimistic about these matters, because I'm 39, I've seen all these things happen. I've even seen not this amount of participation. I've seen the outrage. I've seen the Black Lives Matters posts. I've seen these things. And the thing that happens a lot is that all of these cries wind up in the echo chamber, where it just comes right back to all the people that are saying, they were like, yeah, this is great. But J.J. Watt is not in my echo chamber. Joe Burrow, I don't think, is not in my echo chamber. Let me read his statement really quick. Joe Burrow, he tweeted, "The Black community needs our help. They have been unheard for far too long. Open your ears, listen, and speak. This isn't politics. This is human rights." 24-year-old kid, hasn't thrown a single pass in the NFL yet. And he has, I mean, that's beautiful, right? That's, because again, Colin Kaepernick kneeling, you expect Colin Kaepernick to kneel, okay? He's an African-American person, he's an athlete, the whole nine, he's affected by this. Is Joe Burrow, is he affected by it? Clearly he is, but just because he sees the suffering of others and he feels the need to speak out.
Hey, that was some really powerful stuff, guys. My name is Adam Close. You're listening to the Dream Job Podcast. You can find me at Adam from Genesis on Instagram. I definitely posted a black square. Holla at your boy.
My name is Shamari Block. You can catch me at The Block Is Hot 3 on Twitter and Shamari Block on Instagram. My square is going up in a little bit.
And my name is Alan Styles. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @_StylesFile, Styles with an I. Before we get out of here, I just want to say, with everything going on, please remember that protesting is protesting. Rioting and looting is rioting and looting. Please don't lump everyone together. There are plenty of people out there doing the right thing. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, be safe, be well, be wise. Peace.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.